Hello and welcome back to another episode of Hardened Earl Hosers. I'm Kyle, here with Alex.
Howdy.
And we're podcasters. We're here.
We sit in a dark basement.
Yep. Together in a room.
Stare deeply into each other's eyes.
Yes, it's intimate. We're the intimate Hardened Earl Hosers. And I don't even know. I guess. Oh no! This is gonna be directed. It's not a monthly BS session. We'll just start it with that.
It's mail time. We're addressing a bunch of stuff that's come
up. Yeah. The first thing we should bring up is our seriously big screw up from episode 24.
We made some fake news.
Yes, and we got called out on it. We did realize it after we recorded it and posted it, and it was a sad day for everybody involved. Yeah. So we got called out by a nice Australian man, but
it's good.
Yeah, three-wheel crossbow, KTM crossbow. Turns out it's not a three-wheeled crossbow. It's a four wheels. It's a regular car.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and in my defense, I'll take full blame. I did look up all of the KTM history, but then we didn't record the podcast for like 5 weeks after. And I did. I will say that I did look up the crossbow and I saw pictures of it and it looks nice. But then apparently I blanked on how many wheels it had. So yeah,
got confused with the old T-Rex.
The T-Rex.
The T-Rex is in fact a three-wheeled vehicle.
Oh.
And it looks very similar at the front. Well, not very similar.
It's kind of similar. Well,
we're making more fake news. Here we go.
Fake news. Yeah. So yeah, we may or may not have got told that we don't need to be putting fake news out there in the podcast world because there's plenty of it on Facebook. And that is what drives me crazy about Facebook. Oh, look, there it is. That looks atrocious.
The old T-Rex here.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen one or if you don't remember, what was it? Was it Exhibit that had one? There was some rapper that just loved one, or DMX or something.
Exhibit?
Remember Exhibit?
Who's the one that wears pants backwards? That's Crisscross? That looks like a Crisscross vehicle.
Oh,
Crisscross. Anyways.
So what else we got for news? What are people saying?
So
are you hearing?
I was listening to Billy Bolt's podcast, as I do. Turns out he's the only Husky rider for 2022.
What?
Big news.
They axed.
I don't know.
Well, I guess Gomez was gone.
So Gomez is gone.
Who else was left?
We'll come back to him.
Oh, Jarvis. Oh, boy.
And Bolt. So Jarvis isn't racing for Husky for 2022. I'm not sure whether he's just recovering for a year. Because there was no big announcement or anything like that. You think if Jarvis was going to retire, then it would be a kind of a big hubbub thing.
Yeah. Maybe he's just doing his own race team and hitting Romaniacs that way.
Or? And like just trying to recover his knee and all of his elderly joints for a year and then jump back into it.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. And then maybe just focus on his race team, like you were saying. That was exciting. And not only is Bolt the only rider, but Rockstar isn't a part of the Husky Enduro team anymore.
Whoa.
I know. These are big things happening.
That's a big sponsor. That's like Red Bull dropping KTM.
Yeah. So they kept... Rockstar got bought by Pepsi. So Rockstar pulled out of the Enduro side.
Yeah.
And they're still sponsoring the...
Motocross.
I think it's Motocross, Supercross,
Husky
in North America that they're still functioning.
Wow.
I don't know why I said functioning. They're...
Do they have a new like title sponsor?
Or? I don't think so. Wow. It doesn't look like it. So their factory Huskies are white and blue again.
Yeah.
Instead of black and all nice like and gold.
Yeah.
But yeah. So there's that, which is a big deal between Jarvis not riding, Rockstar not being a part of the Enduro team.
Yeah, it's a big turnover.
Yeah. See, Alfredo is building a moto van.
Yeah.
So he's got to be privateering.
Yeah.
Definitely not. He hasn't confirmed this in English yet. It's unknown whether he's confirmed it in Spanish or not, but
yeah,
I wouldn't know. It looks like he's doing the privateer thing, which is exciting for him. And I think we might be seeing more of that now that very capable riders are doing the privateer thing and pulling sponsors. So,
that'll be interesting. I wonder if this has something to do with the different events that were announced for the 2022 season.
I think
there's
so.
A couple of...
I think so. But we're going to get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But, and my other big news, my helmet finally showed up.
Oh boy.
My Liat 8.5. And it's so nice. It's so nice. So light. And I've been waiting since August. But yeah, big shout out to Alan with Richie Parts and Mechanical for getting me that. It was, He had patience of the Dalai Lama dealing with me between all my size changes, and then he upsold me. But then
flip-flopping.
And then he upsold me, and then we couldn't get that helmet, so I had to get the other one. And yeah, it was awesome. But he did awesome. And not only was he patient, but he blew the 4.9 price out of the water for me, which is substantial because nobody beats 4.9 prices these days. So yeah, if anybody is around Blairmore, Alberta, definitely go see that guy. He's got like a Swiss Army knife type shop. He does everything. Huh. Automotive, dirt bikes, sleds, whole works.
Huh? Cool.
I know. Very interesting. So that's, yeah.
That's some big news. That's a big flip-flop, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And I guess, yeah, we're gonna keep going because, you know, we're going to get to this. The main event in a minute here.
Yeah,
so I was listening to the Coming Up Next Time podcast with Chris Birch. And something interesting that I heard, Chris Birch was saying that, say, the top 10 riders will have their bikes set up very similar, where you could hop on one of them and it would feel like fairly comfortable.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing that he was saying was the lever position.
Yeah.
He said all the hobby riders have their levers just pointed right at the dirt way down.
Yeah.
But if you get on one of the top 10 riders in the world, they'll all be like almost identical for lever position and whatnot. And it's, they're pretty flat. They're just about parallel with the ground.
Wow.
Yeah. So I thought that was huge.
Yeah.
So after I heard that,
I made my
levers a little more flat.
Oh, you're going for the pro stance?
Yeah. I was like, well, if pros are doing it, I should probably learn to do it.
If you look at pictures, I mean, I guess it makes sense when they're...
And like their flag handguards are like pointed pretty straight out too. They're not pointed down.
Yeah, because they're attached to the levers.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that was kind of a fun fact that I heard. I was like, oh yeah, I should look at my bike. Sure enough, they were pointed fairly down. Not aggressively or anything, but... I could definitely move them up a bit.
Makes sense when you see their body position. Like they're a lot more, their torso is a lot more parallel to the ground and they're kind of...
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot lower on the bike.
For sure. I bet like body position has tons to do with
sitting
it.
Sitting and riding technical stuff.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, their riding position is just far more structured than the hobby riders.
Yeah, there's a lot more bend in the hips.
No, that would make sense. Hmm. But yeah, so anyways, that was the biggest... That was a big revelation that I found recently.
It's a good, interesting, fun fact.
Yeah. Yeah. Have we talked about the Stark Varg yet on here?
The Stark Varg?
Yeah.
Was that the bike that kind of looked like it was... we're not really sure. Is it real? So, yeah, we saw this.
This is what I had on the notes. I had scam? Question mark.
Yeah. Yeah. So that got posted, and then it was like a fixed price with delivery anywhere
like,
in the world.
It was like $300 delivery or something anywhere in the world.
Yeah. I was like, this has got to be a scam. And you could pay with credit card on their site, or I think they took PayPal.
Yeah. And it was...
it was shocking. It was just like you could order a bike online, and for $300 shipping, it would show up. I'm like, how do you deliver a dirt bike anywhere in the world for $300?
Yeah.
It was reasonable, wasn't it? It was like $10,000 or $15 Canadian?
Something like that.
I did a conversion.
I think it was $15 Canadian. Oh, here
we go, making fake news.
I think
it was reasonable. Like, it was competitive for an electric bike.
It was. And yeah, it was just funny how they released it. No one had heard anything about it.
Yeah.
They released it. Some guy in a turtleneck and a suit jacket talked about it. I thought he was going to unveil a Ferrari. Turns out it's just a motorcycle. And Then they obviously had the buy now button essentially, and we could pre-order it. which made me wonder how many, because it was like $500 to pre-order or something.
Yeah.
And you think but if you could
fully pay. That was an option too.
Oh my goodness.
Like it was the $500 pre-order to hold your bike or fully pay. Like just drop your...
all the money.
Mad stacks.
Yeah. And if it was a scam, it'd be a damn good scam.
Oh yeah. People just...
Have to...
be up there with Cybertruck.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just Cybertruck's not a scam.
Fade yet, out.
Just for...
not yet. Yep. It's also not a truck, but...
yeah. I hear they might deliver them. did the 4.9 video on the Alta, speaking of electric bikes, yes, and crazy stuff.
I watched that, actually.
That made me like Harley even less. I didn't think that was possible.
I know. Going from bad to worse.
If you're not a follower of 4.9 on their YouTube, they just put up a really good one on kind of Alta and what happened and how all that intellectual property kind of got secured by Harley in a bad deal. And they kind of, I don't want to paraphrase it too badly, but that's why BRP just ended up with the name and they can't use any of the technology. So go and have a look there. It's, I don't know. We're big fans of Ryan F90. Seems to do a really good job of fact checking and good information. So
yeah, and I really like his all the product testing and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. It seems.
I mean, obviously they show all the products that Fortnite sells, like their chain lubes and whatever else. But yeah. There is an option, or they do say if something doesn't win as well.
That yeah, they I mean, sell. They sell a whole bunch of chain oil, and they're like, "Yeah, motor oil seems to be the best thing."
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Put on some 530. Yeah.
But we're huge fans of the Alta. I mean, if you go back to early, like, would you ride a battery bike? We were both kind of sad. Like,
they didn't have a good option yet. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and the one thing I was looking at the Stark. I was obviously, well, I shouldn't say obviously, but I'm the type of person that pretends I'm gonna smash that checkout now button. So I like go through all the options and like pick what I want.
Oh, whether yeah, you
want
some like good stuff.
The 60 horse option or the 80 horse for like battery longevity. But the one I came across is, do you want a foot rear brake or a left hand rear brake? I couldn't decide.
I'd go left. I'd take it off. Like, and you think about it, when you're cornering, you just, well, I mean, you should be off the brakes by that point anyway, but I just do it. Why not?
I know. See, I was thinking the same thing. And because my pivot turning is to the right, more dominant, my foot's not on the rear brake anyways. So having that left-handed rear brake might be the ticket.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can cover your brake anywhere. Your feet, I don't know, your hands are always on the bars.
Yeah.
Your feet aren't always on the pegs. And that's not to say that they're like... when your feet are off the pegs, you need your brakes, but maybe you should.
yeah, this is very true. Might save
you a fender or two.
Yeah. I know, that was the one option that I was a little...
yeah, an 18-inch rear tire.
And, made me stop and think, yeah.
Yeah, it had a bunch of good...
no, it was a good thing. Stuff. So if it's not a scam, I think it's going to be a really good option.
Yeah.
I did see there was like some comments or something. This might be social media. It might not be. We'll never know. That there was some weird... engineer person, much like yourself, that like did, kind of explained a math formula on how their power plant wouldn't actually live up to the numbers that they were saying.
Yeah.
And they're just saying that essentially it's either doesn't make that power or it won't last long enough or something.
Yeah.
Like the numbers don't add up somehow in the math.
Yeah,
he showed the math, but you know, I'm not an engineer, so
I haven't seen that.
May as well have been Chinese.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So, anyways, I just thought I'd bring that up because I don't think we've talked about the Starks before. Stark Varg.
Yeah. Anyone? If someone's bought one or knows that it's a real thing, let us know.
There's mystery videos on social media about people riding them.
Yeah. I mean, we're cautiously optimistic. Let's say that.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope it's a thing.
I'm not going to hit, spend all my hard earned right now and just send it off to...
to some man in a turtleneck and a suit jacket?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But what a good scam that would be. Like, I think that'd be...
yeah.
Yeah. Scammers are getting very smart.
Becoming a problem.
Becoming a problem. Yeah, the ingenuity. Okay, well...
so
enough of that.
Yeah, we thought we're talking a lot of the comments and stuff on type of racing and what types of race are. You know, we last time we were kind of talking about what hard enduro was and the use of the term, which kind of got me thinking, well, what is the history of hard enduro as like a series and a term? Because, I mean, enduro goes back quite a long ways in classic enduro. But basically, like pre-2012 and earlier, there doesn't seem to have been like a structured hard enduro event. There was like the big classics like Romaniacs and Ayersberg and the Sea to Sky in Africa, like, yeah, or sorry, in Turkey. There we go, fake news again. The Roof of Africa. And yeah, they're just, they weren't organized into a series. And then in 2013, Red Bull kind of conjures up this hard enduro race series.
The advertising company that they are.
Yeah, the media company. And they see an opportunity to push, like, you know, the extreme sports. And yeah, so 2013, Walker's crowned. But this kind of groups together a set of six races for the next 3 years, where you have the tough one in the UK, Hell's Gate, Ayersberg in Austria, sorry, Hell's Gate in Italy, Romaniacs in Romania, the Sea to Sky in Turkey, and the XL Agueras in Portugal. And then that carries on 2014, same list of races. And then 2015, they take out XL Agueras and throw in Blazusiak's Dream of the 111 megawatt.
Oh, yep.
That's kind of in their line of, you know, a little bit more spectator friendly. Is that why
Taddy's numbers is 111?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that was his vision. And what, the 111 megawatts in Poland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Big open, big old coal mine.
Oh, that's exciting. I never knew that.
Yeah. And yeah, so then 2016 comes along and it kind of changes up where Red Bull steps it up. And this is where we saw some new events coming in, like Minas Riders in Brazil. And then we still had like the staples of Ayersberg, Romaniacs, the Sea to Sky, and the Roof of Africa came back. Yeah, and then it was the same again until 2018, where all of a sudden it was the WES was announced. And then we had like Agueras is back, Ayersberg, but they switched the format and they wanted to try and do a race in kind of every format. So you had hair scrambles, you had classic enduros, you had hard enduros, and XC races.
They wanted to lump everything in. Yeah. The best of the overall riders.
Give a really broad. So it was like, who is the best overall rider? Yeah. Not who is the best at these extremely tough races like Ayersberg. And, you know, Blazusiak comes back out and now since he's coming out of retirement. And
which is a big thing because when Blazusiak retired, Ayersberg was a very different race.
Yeah. How many wins did he have at that point? He had
like four or five.
He still had the record for the most wins.
Yeah. And yeah, it was just a wide, wide open. You essentially rode a motocross bike in the Ayersberg race. And yeah, when he came back, it was a very different race.
And
super slow. Yeah.
2015 was that group win, actually, where I think it started getting super tough in Ayersberg.
Yeah, that was
a little bit of a scroll there.
Yeah.
But
that was with Big Letty and whoever else.
Yeah, Walker, Jarvis, and Gomez.
Yeah,
they all pulled each other out of green hell.
Yeah. And then that section just went away for the next year.
And they threw a couple of things in, trying stuff here, that Gotland, which was the
classic up in enduro,
Sweden.
Wasn't it?
No, I would call it probably an XC, and it was just a giant mud hole because it was a time race.
I was thinking of the other one, that Truffle.
Yeah, so Truffle Lazarian AMV was a classic enduro. So that year, 2018, Loic Lario, we can't.
LaRue.
LaRue.
Maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Canadian, we can't speak French. it's on the wrong side of the country.
Yeah, that's European French. That's not Canadian French because we'd nail it if it was.
But yeah, so the hard enduro guys kind of got beat on the pair of classic enduro. And the Gotland was just like, it was so muddy that that class of racing, like that just mud brawl was something new. And that was the knockout, the beach race, which Watson won.
Which was actually, that was kind of an exciting race to watch when it was on. It was something super different, but it was exciting.
It was unique. I mean, you see the guys like way over the back tire just pinning it down the street and then trying to stay on top in the corners and stuff.
Yeah, that's probably the scariest part to me. Yeah. Is like the big hair scramble starts and then everyone's wide open over a flat sand and so much washouts.
And the other big thing here in 2018 was KTM and Husqvarna pulled out of Enduro GP. So they had, used to have two teams in there and they were racing, doing well, kind of owning that as well, that series. But they pulled everything out and went all in on the West Series. And that's when you saw like the huge teams where you had Joseph Garcia and Watson on KTM along with Walker. And
They had KTM had a man for every flavor of race.
Yeah, it was like, if we have a big enough team where we have somebody who specializes in everything, we should win
everything.
Like a constructor trophy or something. Not that there was one, but
poor guys, Joseph and Nathan, just on every other race.
Yeah,
3/4 of the West Series, they're just dying.
Yeah,
and they just look forward to the one or two races they can clean up on.
2019 comes around again, very similar. They pulled out the Gotland and threw in the Solsona, which was an enduro.
Yeah.
And then 2020, everything just went, the world went to shit, obviously, and COVID, and they tried to pull the series back to 4 events, and then I don't think anyone was actually crowned. They decided that...
I don't know. I don't
initially, Cycle News reported that the series was suspended, and then...
Oh, yeah, you know what? I think they did a bunch of
4 series.
Yeah, I think they just did some individual races.
Yeah.
For funsies.
Hawkstone... You couldn't get into the UK at that point. It was like a 2-week quarantine to get in and out, so they couldn't logistically TV or anything. So,
because then I think 2020 they did that fall Romaniacs, the vertical madness or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Because they've done it twice now. 2 vertical madnesses, Madnai?
Let's make up some words.
What's a plural of madnesses?
There's a lot of madness.
Yeah, that much is certain. So they had that vertical, and I think, they were all just individual races, essentially, to get the itch scratched.
Yeah, and 2021 was the same, like, just chaos year of COVID and changing restrictions and...
Yeah, more or less.
Manny was crowned overall the winner.
Yeah, and I think there was more races by far than 2020, obviously. But he was pretty,
So bring it back to 2022, this year, what we got to look forward to. So there's a couple new events on it. It's an 8 race series. And the first one is the -400, which is in Israel, and it's a desert race. They're calling it a hard enduro. There's a 6-hour limit to make a course, which is a hard start and hard finish. We'll come back to, I would call this a hair scramble. And then there's the X-Cross Hard Enduro Rally in Serbia. And there's not a lot of information on this. They have a website with some stuff, but basically it's 3 days on 3 mountains. And all right, you get warmed up. You reading these names?
Oh.
Zlatibor, Tara, and Makragora are the three mountains.
Oh, wow.
And then back to Erzberg, Abelstone in Italy. I couldn't find much about that.
Abelstone, because that one was new last year.
Yeah.
For 2021, they only had the 1 year.
It's kind of like a Hicks Peña type race, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. I would say it's similar to that anyways.
Romaniacs in Romania, TKO in the USA, Outliers in Canada.
Which is going to be exciting.
Yeah, Hispania in pain. In Spain.
In pain.
I'm sure there'll be people in pain there, though.
There'll be plenty of that.
So I thought breaking down kind of what defines a hair scramble versus an XC. So a hair scramble, the best example is Erzberg itself, the kind of one of the biggest races in it.
And the lines of 50 people, mass starts.
So it has some unique things in that it's a staged mass start because they can't do the whole 500 people. So they do 10 lines of 50.
Could you imagine?
1-minute intervals. But the idea is that there are checkpoints and there is a definite start and a definite finish. And it's generally accepted, or it's generally a mass start.
Yeah,
usually it's classes, but Erzberg, I don't believe there's classes. It's just go.
Yeah, it's just they group in. They just go from the time limits from the prologue.
Yeah, and then an XC race is kind of more like 111 megawatt or XL Agueras, where you have a ton, or, sorry, not XL Agueras, Hawkstone Park is a good example. And you have a time limit and laps. So the course is not an A to B race. It's doing laps.
It's a lap race. Yeah.
And then once the time elapses, the first person across the line with the most laps is the winner. And then in finishing order behind that. And if you're back a lap, then you get kicked down.
Yeah.
Until you're in the first person to come in with one last lap, and the leader is kind of the person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Behind.
Interesting. And it's.
And then the classic enduro, which is Romaniacs, is a good example. And then La Trofea-Lazarian, where you have tests and transits. So you start at a defined start gate, but usually right off the start is a transit section where you're riding out to a test. And when you get to the test, they have a flipper board there of minutes, and you have a number plate with your minute on it, and you can start on your minute or any minute, usually up to an hour after. And then once you complete your test section, there's an end, and then you're back into a transit. And the transits, there's no penalty for being early because they don't want to encourage people to race. Because usually the transits like roads and things like that to get from all these little short race sections.
Yeah.
And you can be up to an hour later. So if you have like a mechanical or something like that and you don't make it, you have that hour of leniency.
You have a bit of a window.
Yeah, and you relax, try and...
Yeah, get your heart rate down and all that good stuff. Yeah,
shake it out. And but some of them, those are, transits are really tough technical sections where they don't want people to get hurt, but they want to wear you out, and that's...
Yeah, it's still a bit of a grind.
Yeah, it's still a bit of a grind. It's
still a race, yeah. And this is, the corduroy is like this, isn't it? Yeah,
the corduroy is like this, exactly. So some transits are just like a dirt road ride and it's easy. And some of them are just like the transits are way tougher than the actual race sections.
Yeah.
Because they're just like slippery rocks and they don't want people being upset that there's like a traffic jam there. So if they put it on a transit, you're getting fatigued trying to get to your next race section. You're not getting tired.
But people aren't running into each other trying to get past.
Yeah, people are helping each other through it because you're blocking somebody, and so they come and help you to get through so they can get through. And they're not yelling at you to get out of the way or riding over top of you.
Yeah, they call it a transit, so there's a little more patience involved.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the winner for that is the least time. Like you sum up all of your test sections only, and then whoever has the lowest time. And different classes may have different tests or different lengths. So one may have, like the pro class might have 8 tests in a day and the novice class might only have 6 and they take ones that are beyond their ability. So where does a hard enduro, I think things like Romaniacs where going back to overall, it's all these races, not everyone finishes. Like there's really high attrition rates.
And there's a lot of DNFs happening.
What makes it hard? I think hard enduros generally relate more to a hare scramble. Like the idea that you still have a mass start. So you're shoulder to shoulder with people, but that it's a very technical route and a lot of people aren't going to finish.
Yeah, and that absolutely. A to B is. And even like, I think lots of them are even being like cross country races or so. Like anything without a transit section mostly, I think is they're calling hard enduros.
Yes.
Because I mean, obviously they're usually on the side of a mountain.
Yeah. But like you say, I mean, if we look at the whole list of events here, we have XC races, classic enduros, hare scrambles.
Yeah.
Everything is kind of falling under this umbrella that I would say Red Bull has called the hard enduro series in 2013. And that's kind of where the term has been broadened.
Yeah. Which is, it's interesting that Red Bull gets involved and said, hey, let's do something more extreme than what we have been doing. And let's
call it a series.
Let's call it a series. Bring all these hard races together.
Yeah.
And KTM was like, yeah, bitch, you got her.
Yeah, when they brought the West, they're like, okay, we'll support this.
We'll support this. Yeah, let's get our fingers in the pot.
Yeah, yeah, we'll go all in, pull our riders out of Enduro GP.
And then all of that happens, and then FIM gets involved in 2021 after like Red Bull organized the whole thing, essentially.
But I'm curious if part of FIM getting involved was Paul Torres speaking out about the pros and rules where... it was pretty loose on rule structure, I think, before.
Yeah.
And now it's like...
Especially when Red Bull KTM was winning everything.
Yeah, when they were sponsoring the series and, you know, I don't think KTM was officially in there, but...
Yeah. No, absolutely. No, and it could be... Yeah, I wonder if it was almost like a union vote type thing.
Yeah,
with like, the riders, hey, and...
We need to make this reasonable for everyone.
Yeah.
On a level playing field.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I'm but it's cool. Like, I think it's a good thing that FIM gets involved.
Yeah.
Because it is that much more official.
Yeah.
We'll say. And,
yeah. And they get brought into the gala and all that stuff too.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. No, that's, it's exciting.
I thought that was just interesting that, you know, the 2013 was kind of the start. There's a couple of different eras. You have that 2013 start where Red Bull gets involved and calls it the Hard Enduro.
And they muddle a bunch of races together.
And it's kind of a bunch of existing things. And then you have like 2016 where it starts to become a little bit more formal and they're making the logos that you see now and kind of pushing it. And then 2018, they start to call it WES. And there's that
big which push. Actually tying back to our KTM history really lines up with that.
Yeah.
Like 2013, when they get Alfredo, they get Johnny Walker.
Yeah, they start building that powerhouse team. Like,
I can't remember. Jarvis was 11 or 13 or something.
Yeah.
And like it just lines right up.
Yeah. Jarvis was still on the Berg in 13 and then 14 switched to the Husky.
But Husaberg was owned by them.
Yes.
Remember?
At that time, yeah.
Because,
In going through and looking at these, like all the historical photos of Jarvis on the Berg, like that era.
I know because
the glory days,
especially because they're kind of just like the old clapped out bikes now.
Yeah.
So you see like a Jarvis or whoever, or a Walker riding an old KTM, old Husaberg.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, I know what those bikes are like. Like you just have so much more appreciation for them.
Yeah, Lars E-Knuckle on the gas. There was a gas on one of them. Oh, David Knight. Yeah, winning. Sorry, I missed it in here. But there was somebody who won on a gas, like an old gas.
Oh, and yeah.
It was pretty pretty big news. We're too far.
That is a big thing. Huh. Yeah. No, that's interesting. I didn't know that. The West Series became the West Series all in 2018.
Yeah. Which is also a redesign on KTMs, right? Like that was... No, yeah. 2018 was the new for Enduro. 2017 was the SX bikes.
Sure.
No, sorry. I'm making...
16-17.
16-17. Yeah, so just before.
Yeah.
Because 17 was the first of the XCW, the body change.
Yep. Oh.
That counterbalance carb.
Yes.
17-18.
Oh, so good.
Glory bikes.
Yeah, glory bikes is right.
Yeah, anyway, just
I wanted to touch on that because, I mean, it all gets so convoluted sometimes when you're talking about, well, it was an XC race.
Yeah.
Especially when we're talking about like that Maze Runner.
Yeah.
XC, that's a hard enduro race. Really, you stop and think,
Yeah, it comes down to you.
And I guess it could technically be a cross country race, but then it'd be hard enduro because it's on the side of a mountain.
Yeah, exactly. I would, you know, we were questioning calling stuff a hard enduro,
it turns out that it's just an advertising media word, essentially, buzzword. Right? Yeah. Yeah, it's that clickbait.
Yeah, hair scrambles, XCs, and classic enduros.
Yeah.
Are kind of the three type of events that make up the Hard Enduro series.
Which is good. I like it. And I really appreciate that they do have a mix of races in here. So it's not just it's not just a trials rider on an enduro bike winning everything. I mean, it is because Bolt's awesome. But aside from that, like it really I think it's good that they do switch it up and they do have a bunch of different races.
I'm excited for this minus 400. When I first went on, I saw the list for it and it was like a desert race. I was like, oh, I don't like a desert race.
Yeah, I don't
race.
Know they had that.
But then looking into it, like the 6-hour time lapse, like it seems like it's an Erzberg style race in Israel. Like GPS navigation's optional. It's not required, but...
What, are they going to have a roll chart?
I don't know. Just, I guess if you miss some flagging, like, it's pretty mountainous. It kind of reminds me of, like, the Kamloops kind of hoodoo-y. Yeah.
Hoodoo-y?
Hoodoo-y. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's... And actually, that's kind of like... that looks like reminds me of, like, Outliers, unless we're looking... No, no. Yeah, that's, yeah, that's minus 400. Yeah.
So we're looking at pictures of, like, riders in a desert, and... But it's, they start in the town, which is 400 meters below sea level at the Dead Sea, and then they race up these, like...
Minus 400. Gotcha. There you go.
And, yeah, so then they race up these, you know, desert cliffy areas, and I don't know. I'm really excited to see what this like turns into.
Yeah, there's going
to
be some big hill climbs and whatnot in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you hear desert race, you're like, oh, good.
It's going to be like Ayersburg without the green hill.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
know. Yeah, for sure. I'm curious. Definitely. And I'm curious to see what bikes the pros will choose for this race.
Yeah.
Whether they're going to be opting for the 350, 450, four strokes, or go for the 300 extreme bikes.
The X-Cross in Serbia, it looks interesting. Like, it's a little more forested. I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, their site's okay, but it doesn't really tell you anything about the race format that I can find.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you have the written there, hard enduro rally.
Yeah. Yeah, what makes a rally part? Like, why rally and not an enduro?
Yeah.
If it's tests and transits.
And we just heard from you that there's plenty of enduro classifications that you shouldn't need to throw in a rally into it to make everybody confused.
I mean, are they going to be like guys with windscreens showing up in big, massive tanks?
Yeah.
That's what it makes me think of, but...
Yeah, start to bring Dakar guys over?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, that's... And it's good that they're bringing in new races as well. Like, that's a big thing, I think, to keep it kind of... Yeah. You got to keep the classics like Erzberg, Romaniacs, whatever. Even Hispania, I would say, is like a... Is a classic hard enduro, extreme enduro from the ground.
I'm torn. One that I'm always torn between is the Roof of Africa. Like, it's different, but the format is so close, like the multi-day racing to Romaniacs, that I can understand how it kind of gets kicked off the list.
Yeah, it's the filler.
Yeah. Like, when was the last time it was part of... it's been a long time. Africa, 2017 was the last time the Roof of Africa was raced in a...
Yeah.
In a West Series. The race still happens. I'm not saying it's canceled. Still, it's just not part of the series.
Yep. No, good. And this is probably, I didn't know any of this because I only started, dirt biking in 2017?
Yeah.
Or something. So the West is like brand new, and I thought it had been going on for a long time.
Yeah, and I first saw the clips of Ayersburg kind of late 2013. I'd heard about it and seen a clip on YouTube and like an advertisement or something somebody shared on Facebook.
And you guys went in 2018.
And yeah, we went in 2018.
So that would have been the first Wes.
Yeah.
Ayersburg. Huh. I mean, I guess Ayersburg has been going on for so long though.
Yeah, it's
as old as the mine. Is that a stretch? Is that
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. No, that's good. No, I really like that. They kind of got split up. We get a little...
95, first Ayersburg season.
Oh, boy. Did they even make a 300 in 95? Probably not.
I'm not sure. Oh, it was a KTM, Alfie Cox on a KTM. And then a couple of gas guys. And yeah, you're right. Taddy's got 5 wins.
Yep. Yeah, it's interesting. I think he was it was probably on Red Bull TV, the clip of him just talking about coming out of retirement and whatnot. And he said, my bike was just set up for stiff and fast. And when he came back, he had the bike set up the same way, and then he was way out of his league. And he said it was awful. Yeah, so... What, I think Jarvis and Blizuziak are tied? Is that right?
Yeah, so Jarvis, he has that 2015 group finish, and then I don't. Who won 2020? Did it happen?
No, it hasn't happened in 2020 or 2021.
Yeah, so they're both tied at five, but Graham has the joint win where nobody was going to finish.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. They're tied asterisks.
Yeah. That's. I'd say that's legit. Cool. Wow. I think that's.
That was a whole bunch of news.
That was a lot of news.
I'm still shocked at Graham not being part of Husqvarna.
I know.
No more Rockstar?
No more Rockstar.
Is there any other energy drinks? Like, who are they going for? Surely it won't be the KTM Husqvarna Red Bull teams.
No, that they wouldn't want to lump themselves together quite so closely.
Yeah. Well, trying to think of like in MotoGP or Enduro Monster. GP, who are the big, the other?
Monster.
Yeah. Oh, I don't.
Kawasaki Enduro bikes, where'd those come from?
Oh, it's going to be Monster, isn't it?
I don't know. There's so many, like, I guess there's some good things about Monster, but I just get the feeling that
there's a stereotype.
I get the impression that, yeah, it's just more like chaotic, almost like the Monster people. But then also in Formula One, Mercedes and Monster are together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And they're pretty like uppity team.
Yeah.
Very official.
Yeah,
very.
So I saw the Rockstar as being pretty, like, their logo is very sharp, very crisp.
Yeah. And obviously their business choices have to be the same as what their logo looks like.
Yeah.
Not torn and disheveled like Monster. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. I think this is going to be a good 2022, probably this year and even next year. I think there's going to be a lot of changes.
Yeah.
Whether Jarvis stays gone or whatever, they work out, whoever works out all of the teams, the sponsors, the FIM being part of it.
Yeah. Three out of eight races being relatively new, one only being part of the series last year.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Some new races is exciting. I don't know.
It's neat to see a sport growing and evolving. Like, it's so fresh.
That's just it. And like, it's
not even 10 years in the series.
I never would have thought that they'd be coming to Canada either.
Yeah.
Until Alberta.
Yeah.
Alberta, of all places.
You gotta see if you can convince. Yeah. Oh, if you get a picture of Bolt holding a Tim Hortons cup.
Oh my goodness.
Just fill your heart with love, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah. I wouldn't know what to do. I'd be just so schoolgirl giddy that I just, yeah. Oh, oh, spirit animal. Yeah, so that'll be very exciting to see all those
come
to Canada.
Yeah. Time for some shameless plugs.
Yes. At Hardendur Hosers on Instagram.
Or HardendurHosers.com. Leave us a voice message. Let us know what we missed or what you agree with, disagree with.
Yeah.
Big news. Just get featured on the show.
Absolutely. And we didn't get the clip together of the Australian man calling us out. I really wish he would have left his name because I would have appreciated it. I don't know. I would have featured him on the show.
Yeah.
Just because he was our second. Well, I guess second and a half.
Yep. Yeah.
But yeah. Anyways, let us know because we really appreciate them. Even if it's constructive criticism, I'm going to call that constructive criticism.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, that's good.
And
keep us honest.
And we really do try and like keep our information accurate.
Yeah.
Like as much as possible. I mean, I've got some pretty wild opinions and future thoughts, fortune telling stuff, but in general, I think we do really try to keep this information as accurate as possible.
Yeah.
Unless we're way out there with people dying because they see that bicycles getting manufactured in their motocross shops.
Yeah. Sometimes there's a little bit of satire in there.
Yeah. There's.
Yeah. So maple dip time?
Maple dip. Boston cream.
Boston cream. I miss Dutchies. Oh, Dutchies need to make a comeback.
Yeah, I don't. Cronuts get me.
Yeah. You know, just, my problem with a cronut is after I eat it, I don't feel like I've eaten something. Like, they're so light and airy.
That's the best part.
Yeah. No, I'm more on like the Long John where you eat it and you're like, whoa, man, I don't have to eat.
But yeah, you also
I'll pass on supper. You go take a nap.
Yeah. You wake up from the nap and you're like, McDonald's.
Yes.
You frequent that McDonald's a lot for the same feeling, I think. Yep. You're like, oh, there's some gross food in my body.
Too many McDoubles.
Yeah. Fairly certain that you're paying someone's salary in our local McDonald's. Yeah.
Guys got to eat.
Yeah. Including the guy working for him at McDonald's. Until next time. That really was a swing and a miss. We fell on our face there. Until next time. Well, see you in the next one, I guess. Okay, bye.